everyone. On behalf of the JCSD1 Board of Trustees, we'd like to welcome everyone to the October 9th regular monthly board meeting. The board thanks everyone for taking time out of their busy schedules, and this was a busy month, for attending this meeting either in person or via streaming or listening on 307.net. At this time, would you all please stand with me and stand in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call. Kristen Ledoux is not under the weather, but she's had surgery, so she will be out this month. Cell phones, you all know the drill. We appreciate if you take any cell phone call outside, and if you need to have a conversation, we also ask you to step outside. At this time, public comment. Do we have any public comment, Heidi? No? Okay. Do we have any additions to our agenda?
We have the parent liaison program.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's apologize.
Under D, right?
It's under D. And it's on the other one. I apologize. I'm glad you're here.
I'm glad to be here.
All right. Parent liaison, would you come on up and introduce
yourself? Should I just take
you
a
betcha.
Seat? Is that great? Okay.
By the way, before she starts, wonderful job at accreditation. Thank you so much.
Thank you for the opportunity. I'm so excited to be here. My name is Demetra Dugal, and I'm the Parent Liaison Program Manager for Compass Center for Families. I am extremely passionate about this program, as I was a parent liaison myself at Sheridan Junior High School for 3 years before transitioning to managing the program last year, and now I'm here in Johnson County. Compass is in its 9th year as the lead agency for the program in Sheridan County, and we're in our 2nd year in Johnson County. This program was developed in Bozeman, Montana nearly 30 years ago by a nonprofit named Thrive, and it is informed by years of research that shows us when parents are engaged in their children's education, those students are successful. This evidence-based program is also embedded in Livingston, Montana, Mineral County, Montana, and Belgrade, Montana. Now, Thrive as an organization provides us with a detailed implementation guide and timeline, and we follow this program to fidelity. They provide us with extensive training annually and on an ongoing basis, and some supervision. I supervise with Steve Wellington in Bozeman on a weekly basis. I meet with other program managers biweekly. And myself and Steve and Charles Oski and my executive director at Compass, Tiffany Reeser, all meet monthly. And your liaison, Kristen Alger, receives weekly supervision from myself and from her peers in Sheridan County. She has shadowed other liaisons and will continue to do so this year as part of her ongoing training. And this year, we are creating a group for liaisons from smaller schools in Mineral County and Story, Wyoming, for her to learn from, because KC is a very small school, and that might pose different challenges for a liaison that even I may have not been aware of. So if we can just switch slides, please. Our mission is to create strong partnerships between schools and parents to ensure the success of all children. Parent liaisons are neutral facilitators between home and school. And our program is preventative and proactive, and we focus on the strengths of both families and schools. Liaisons provide support to schools, support to families, because all families need support at some time. Parenting is hard, and children are part of a family system. And so if parents are struggling, then it's likely that kids are struggling and struggling to learn in schools. They also connect parents to resources both within their schools and community and provide parent education opportunities. Last year, free Love and Logic classes were held in Buffalo, and this year, free Love and Logic classes for all families are being held in KC in November and then again in Buffalo this spring. She also facilitates kindergarten and third grade readiness presentations with her school teams. And these presentations include information on child development, parenting tips, how to be engaged with your child's school, and they also stress the importance of attendance, because we know that really attendance supports student success short-term, long-term, and over the course of their lives, really. Now, this next slide, please, is what I'm really excited about. It's to show you the impact Kristen had last year in both towns in Johnson County. Overall, she had contact with 117 families, and she worked with 25 families on an ongoing basis, which means she had contact with them three or more times, because some parents need support just once, and some can need some ongoing support, so she provided that. And next slide, please. Each year, our program surveys all staff. And the staff survey was sent to all K through 5 staff, and 96% of respondents said that they're satisfied with the program and would recommend it. And I just wanted to share a couple of quotes with all of you from those surveys. Kristen's connection with parents was invaluable. She established relationships that in the past have been hard for us to do. Another quote was, thanks to our parent liaison, a few of my students were given resources and opportunities I could not provide as a classroom teacher. This addition to our school is bridging a gap for parents who need more support, guidance, and resources to help their students be more successful in and out of school. And that's really our program in a nutshell. And next slide, please. We also surveyed families who worked with Kristen on an ongoing basis. And 100% of those parents are satisfied with the program and would recommend it. And 78% reported support from their liaison increased their involvement with the school. That's our mission. It's working. It's happening in year one. And it's only going to grow from here. I've seen it in Sheridan County. I'm confident we'll see that same growth in Johnson County. A couple of quotes. My child now loves school, is more outgoing and social. She helped in so many ways to make it easy for my kids in school. And finally, I would like to see, and I think you all would like to see, this program continue beyond this year. We are working hard to secure key community stakeholders to develop a truly public-private partnership like the one in Sheridan County. We'd like to partner with the school district, Compass Center for Families, and Thrive. Our Compass Executive Director, Tiffany Reeser, has submitted 3 grant applications, one to the Homer A. and Mildred S. Scott Foundation, one to the John P. L. Bogan Foundation, and one to the Wold Foundation. We're looking at funding, partial funding for the next 3 years. I can go into more specifics if anyone is interested, but I will keep you posted on our future success. Lastly, on behalf of myself and Kristen Alger and Compass Center for Families, I want to thank you for inviting us into your schools and into your communities and partnering with us to really support families and children on this journey, because it ultimately benefits our students and our community overall. So thank you so much. And I invite any comment or questions from anyone.
Who usually refers? Do you get referrals? How's that all come about?
Well, there are a couple different ways that a parent can start working with their liaison. First of all, in our preventative side, Kristen makes welcome calls to any family that's new to the district or new to the school. So we have that positive first contact. But she also meets with school teams on a weekly basis. She meets with principals and counselors with a weekly meeting, and referrals can come that way. Hey, we heard a parent say this. They're struggling with this. Having trouble making rent, whatever that could be. And also she gets referrals from individual teachers, because she's trying to develop relationships with both staff and families to support the whole system. Does that make sense? Okay, great.
Other questions?
I'm just gonna do a celebration. That's 1 year up there. So to have the type of information that you see in there, the number of contacts in year one, is really exciting for me as a superintendent. Usually we talked about, with Steve, this is a 3-year process, so those are pretty remarkable numbers. And Shane Rader with Sheridan 2 is here, but that's just a coincidence. But that was it is an off-branch. Knowing that Sheridan 2 has been very successful, 30 years of experience, it isn't just a new program, it's evidence-driven. So thank you for your guys' efforts.
You're welcome.
And I'm excited to see where this will be in the next couple of years. And more importantly, they're doing the work to also help seek that funding so it's financially supported through the community and not just a cost to the district. So I think it is truly a collaborative piece between the communities and the school districts to catch the parents and the young kids at early age to make sure they're connected with school. So. Yeah.
I will say when we had dinner with Sharon too, they just couldn't say enough about the parent liaison. And that came from the school board, so you should feel good about that.
Thank you, Jan.
Thank you.
Happy to be here.
Thank you so much for coming.
Yes, really good presentation. So.
Okay. You're welcome.
And at this time, I'd also like to introduce Shane Rader. He is our district rep. Am I right in saying, is that what I want? What district are we again, number?
Area 7.
Area 7. He hosts barbecues. He sends emails regularly. He tries to keep us informed of what is going on. How can he help us? So, Shane, I appreciate all your efforts. I appreciate you being here tonight.
Absolutely.
So, thank you.
Thank you.
Do you have any questions for Shane?
He's a good guy. How long have you been on the board and how long have you been on the school board?
I've been on my local board for 7 years and then the WSBA board for 3 years.
Are you board chair this time or?
Yeah, I'm board chair over at Sheridan 2, and then serve as your area director, and then currently the vice president for WSBA.
Busy guy. So thank you again, Shane, for being here tonight.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anything else before we go on? So at this time, may I have a motion to accept the agenda as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the agenda as presented, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The agenda has been accepted. General reports. Mr. Roski?
Oh, we're going to do our student video.
That's what I've got general reports, and I was going to say student
video. My bad.
Right there.
And so we're going to turn it over. We're going to do the student video, and then we will get started on the principal reports.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Jen, I just want to compliment on that. That is students. I mean, this thing has grown since we started this position. It's been student-developed, and I think what a great way to start the board meeting. So kudos to those students.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
We don't like this time, too. We'd like to thank Mr. O for the T-shirts. Thank you so much. Are these made by the students?
So most years they have been done by Borgelli, and the operation upstairs, his annex. This year, with just the accreditation and so much going on in the beginning of the year, I didn't ask Borg to do them, and so we ordered these.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
All right, Madam Chair, we do have principal reports. Buffalo High School is a spotlight. Gib was just informed that prior to this, but he is well prepared. So Gib, just what we talked about, busy week.
Yeah, so it has been busy. As you probably know, there's a few milestones in the course of a high school year. Homecoming is one of those things. So we finished homecoming week this week. It's busy, starts with color run. We have the parade and barbecue. We have cross country was out of town, swimming was home. The kids at school, and I attached flyers for a lot of the activities, but dodgeball one night and volleyball one night, and then football and a dance. And it gets interesting, the dance. You know, typically we have the doors locked at 9 p.m. for a dance. Everybody's in at that point. If you leave after 9, you cannot come back. So this time, because the game ran late, we backed that up till 10 o'clock. That still wasn't late enough, because if we didn't, I think the game didn't finish till 9:40, and those players have to go get showered, they got to be changed, they want to look good, they don't want to smell, and they want to get back. So it was an interesting evening. I think it was probably 10:30, 10:40 before we felt like we had the kids in and parents were taking pictures right in the entryway there, parents out, and sort of things got started. But all worked out. All worked out okay. So it's a busy week.
Any questions for Gib?
When do you have your parent-teacher conferences?
So
you do it differently, don't you?
Right. We do, yes, typically. So ours are coming up on the 24th and 25th, I believe those evenings are. We've talked about this a little bit. We will do them differently this year. So we are going to have our staff that's upstairs all come down. We'll put them in the auxiliary gym and in the halls and even the auditorium. We will keep our downstairs main level folks on the main level. Our PE guys have always come up to the commons to do theirs, well, since I've been here. So everything will be on the main level for parent-teacher conferences this year.
So Gib, if I can, I know it's a question that should be on everybody's mind, but how's the elevator coming? I see John's not here. In his report, it said they're starting construction on a room.
They are.
So progressing okay?
Yeah. Today was a great day, actually. I think there were 5 different contractors at Buffalo High School, 2 of them working on the elevator, power, water, all of those things. So we have the room that's been framed in, it's sheetrocked inside and outside, and the taping just about done. So they have a sprinkler to put in, and they have a ton of stuff to do, I'm sure. But it is coming along, and we had a ton of people in there today working on stuff, which is a great day to do it without students there. So
I see we had an issue with the boiler there, which I didn't know about. Do you, like, say there again, because John doesn't know, do you know, Charles, what's going on?
They got it fixed, or they got the parts coming in. So, yeah, it's just a typical building issue with the boiler system. So, yeah.
Thank you, Gib.
Of course.
Anything else? Thank you, Gib.
You're welcome.
And at this time, do we have any questions for any of the other principals? Would any of the principals have anything to highlight? Go ahead.
Question so much, but kudos. The peer review thing went amazing. You guys, every building showed up and just flew the flag proud. It was really out of the park, so well done. Pass to the troops in the buildings. Great show.
I'd agree. kudos to the team. 30 plus presenters, 50 plus videos, 140 pages worth of documents, all that stuff. But when the team showed up and did their presentations, was extraordinary. But what they did when they were in the buildings the next day was even more extraordinary.
And
it kicked off the day before with KC. So Jake's team did a great job of kicking that off in that two-hour piece. So kudos to everybody.
Congratulations on your new leadoff batter.
I have one for Mr. Henderson. For the new board members, they're not really new anymore. By the way, and I love that you have your school improvement plan, the draft on there. It's very detailed. Well done on that. It has a lot of information. I have to go through it again because there's so much information on that. And that's just your draft?
It's right now it's out to parents and out to staff.
Okay.
Yeah, just for review.
So can you tell us how you developed your mission and vision goals? Are these new? Are they old? Just for our members that have only been on for a year.
Yeah, it was a year-long process. So last year we applied, actually the spring of 22, we applied to be a part of a cohort with the Department of Ed and Solution Tree. And so we spent 6 days with the Solution Tree rep last year, two times in October, two in January, two in April, and it was just that whole process or journey, so to speak. And we had a mission and vision and values and goals, but we hadn't addressed them for several years. And so it was time. We had pretty significant turnover in staff, and so we needed to really take a look at all of that. So it was a long process.
It took a year long process?
Well, we started in September or October, and we throughout the year, the first thing we came to was the mission, and that's challenge and prepare every student. And then we came up with our vision, which I cannot tell you verbatim what it is. But it was just kind of in steps. We did it piece by piece. We also tagged on to the district, also jumped in on the PLCs last year and brought in Annie Griffin, who's a superintendent in 10 Sleet and also a Solution Tree associate. She came over and kind of got her by accident. The person we were supposed to start the year with couldn't make it or something. And so she jumped in and became our coach. And so literally email away when we have questions and things like that. But it's been a year-long journey, still going. We have some additional trainings we'll do this year. One of the first things I did is created what's called a guiding coalition. So it's a teacher leader group. And they kind of are the carriers of the torch. And
And they're just not fancy words. What I like, these are words that you're going to live by when it comes to your curriculum, when it comes to your budget, everything.
If you look at the goals in our school improvement plan, if you look at the goals that are on the on our mission, vision, values, and goals, they all align. So we're not doing a bunch of this. You know, we're trying to keep the boat going in the right direction. So.
And that's something I think we want to develop as our strategic plan, is something that we live by. Everything we do will be to our strategic plan. And that was one thing our peer review kept hammering to us that we need to do. So thank you.
Our big rock for this year is just that continuing to create those common formative assessments. That's question two of a PLC. And then taking that data and acting on it. Intervene with kids that aren't quite there and then extend on kids that are already there. And that's where we've really struggled is not that we haven't struggled in other areas, but the challenge is to meaningfully extend learning opportunities, not just give busy work. So that's our challenge.
Thank you. Yep. And I'd like to remind the board that just because they call it school improvement, they are not on a school improvement. That was one of the goals of Mr. Oski, that every school will have a school improvement plan. Is it every year, Mr. Oski, or how are you doing that?
So good practice is we're going to keep our school improvement plans updated every year, absolutely. by state requirements, if you're not meeting expectations, you have to submit one to the state, but we're going to do one in every building every year. Okay?
Dr. Ferris, just one kudos for you. I thought Mr. Scarlett did a wonderful, and Mr. Glassick did a great job with the middle school cross-country meet. It's like herding kittens when you have about 300 kids there and trying to get around almost a two-mile course.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. They do a ton of back work for it, but then I think I got a call from Ron at probably 11 and said, we're done. This is it.
It's great.
Like, man, that they ran really quick. That was the other direction for soccer, but they were, that was great. I will pass that along. Thank you. But they do have that down, and it's never easy hosting a big culminating event like a district or a conference meet. You know, it's a lot.
You even had
it's a lot.
Seventh grade girl win conference. That was really great.
Yep.
Little Townsend girl.
Yes. Yeah.
And not only that, it was a great time. And the reason we got done by 11, you had some fast kids.
We just ran. Just took care of business. Huh?
Thank you.
Yep.
Do we have any other questions for any of the admin team? Admin team, do you want to add anything? Okay, Mr. Oski.
All right, director's reports. So Christy's out sick. Ricky's not here. John had a family issue. So those three reports, we do have transportation here. So I will try to answer for the other threes if I can. But Bill is here to answer any questions you might have of him. So any general questions for director's reports?
Did you have one?
No, I just said spotlight. You have to be the spotlight.
He's on one area.
Yeah. I have one for the tech, and Mr. Oski, I know you can answer that. What's New Line Displays? What's that?
Well, the gentleman is here to do that, but I'm assuming you're talking about the trip to Cody?
No. This was under Christie's.
So New Line Displays are for classrooms that are going to be in Craig's building.
Right.
So, Craig, I mean, if I misspeak, or we'll let Craig speak to it, but that is those TVs we talked about that we purchased that are going to be those displays that will be put up. So I think it was Craig, John, and Christy all went over to Cody because they had those set up. So they looked at how those setups were actually installed and kind of some of the obstacles that they went through with that installation. So I'll let Craig speak to that.
Yeah, just to see how everything goes in. We found a lot of things that we didn't like about how they put them in, like cords all over the place. Didn't look good at all. Didn't look real safe. But, just structurally, how would they go in? Because my understanding is we're going to mock one up, get one put in, and then from that create the specs or whatever for putting it out for bid.
So is this a touch?
Yeah, touch screen TV. So it's replacing our smart boards that are, we've been in there 13 years. This is our 13th year. So they sat in the warehouse for a couple years before they put them in the building. So we're looking 15 years on those. So they're due.
Do we have any other questions?
Yeah, Charles. So John puts in there that, or maybe Christy. Okay, Christy puts in there that they're updating the computers for the BHS staff. What do we do with the old computers? And
I don't know. Do computers wear out?
They go on a rotation. So
because
of new technology.
So
go ahead.
So Dave, Dave and the Board of Trustees, so this is a rotation because there'll be a point in time where computers can't be updated or they can't keep up with the software. So as you kind of budget and you plan for annual deals, but that rotation of staff computers based on what their needs are, again, going to having that discussion on we're going to do desktops and a Chromebook so it's more financially stable down the road, that's kind of where we're at right now. But when we talk about updating, our teachers have to have the ability to teach with the technology that kids are using. So we got to keep them updated through that process too. So when we talk about that update, yeah, computers do get to the point where we can't upgrade them or maintain them. So they're kind of, it's part of a rotation, like a uniform rotation as we go through that, what that looks like. However, there's going to be some consistency. So every building's been a little different over the last 6 to 8 years and being just setting a point of a desktop and affordability, a Chromebook in every building, I know there's some discussion, well, this building gets this, this building's got that. We need to be more consistent across the district, but that's part of where this process starts. But yes, absolutely. If our teachers are going to be expected to teach with the technology that the kids are on, we got to have them on a rotation and update of their...
So where do the old ones go, Charles?
That'd be a great question for Christy, but if it's something we trade in or we sell through that process, but we can ask Christy and Michelle to bring into that. Connie, can you speak to that a little bit?
I think with what that we they do some use of those? It to repair other laptops, so if they need parts, they use it for parts as well on the laptops.
But there's companies that buy them, so I'm not going to speak to how Johnson County's always done it, but you can trade your technology in, they'll come and do that piece, so... There's all those components, but again, that's a great question that we can.
They always tell you not to throw them in a landfill.
Right, and I know that's
not because of the batteries and stuff. So that's why.
So I can guarantee you, we're not throwing them in the landfill. We're trying to either get our money or we're trading them in with something. Mm-hmm. So,
I know that's what BOSI does. So there's a company that they have contracted with. This company will actually come and get these computers from them.
Oh, I'm sure they're for something.
They resell them. And they also give the money to BOSI, so there's a whole big business out there now.
Madam Chair?
Yes?
On the facilities report, sounds like Apex is scheduled on October 9th to drain the heating system and make the repairs. We know, did that happen? Was that a successful?
Is that a KC thing?
VHS is the first one, but KC said they've got two needing it and scheduled for as soon as possible. So that was my next question, is how are we progressing?
I think, and I could be misspeaking here, but I think Buffalo High School is done.
I think it is too.
I think it was completed today.
It's October, certainly. Kind of
so the answer to that question is, if you don't hear anything, everything went smoothly in that process, to be honest with you. I'm not going to lie to you. Last week was all peer review. And did get a lot of one-on-one time with John, but John usually does a pretty good job if it's an emergency and to be aware of it. I'm assuming it all went well. I know there were people in KC. I know there were people at Buffalo High School. So to answer that question, Travis, I'm assuming because I didn't get pulled to the side that that process was resolved.
Okay. As October and November close in,
absolutely.
Time to make sure we've got some heat. And I know Casey struggles with this.
If you looked at the weather report, snow's Thursday, so.
Yay.
Yes. Charles, are we getting rid of the fobs that were going to these Alpha carts?
So we need to do some type of staff ID card, so we are transitioning that, so there's still going to be fobs. So as we transition to one platform across the district with how we get in and out of our buildings. These are things that we're starting to test as we go through. So I'm not going to say we're going to go away from fobs. We're just going to go away from different avenues. So we're still going to have fobs that we'll have to get in and out of buildings, but it's going to be kind of a combination of both.
Because I thought the fob when we brought those in were really nice because they told you what time somebody unlocked the door.
It'll do the same thing.
It did all that. So you're this Alpha card, if you will, is what it's called.
So it's more like a one card, one stop, one shop. It's your student ID. We're trying to combine that with the guest network and do some things that it provides more than just getting in. It's still going to track you. But our concern right now is we have multiple platforms. So going to one platform with Mercata, which actually even ties to the camera system when they enter the building. So getting to that point over the next couple of years will be part of that transition, but the card will serve the same purpose as a fob. So when you enter a building, it's tied to you, so you know when you entered the building, so you can track those. It's just a different form. I mean, short of retina displays at each door, it's just a different type of technology. Yeah.
Do they have that at the hospital?
Not yet, but we're getting them. They have it at the BLM. My husband has to use his card to even access.
Yep. Really?
It's for everything. If they don't have their card with them, they can't get in the building, they can't get in through certain doors, they can't access their computers.
Yep.
That's like their lifeline. It's crazy.
But looking at how we print those cards, where do we send them out? Do we buy a printer to print these cards? That's just we're in the beginning phases of looking what that looks like. But we're not going to transfer just overnight. It's going to be even having the conversation, do you have what color lanyard or how do you give them? Because apparently we want school colors to be appropriate, so we've heard that conversation, so it is a journey.
Any other questions? Mr. Oski, I think we're to your spotlight. Superintendent report.
All right, it's pretty simple. I'm just going to go back to that peer review. You look at, again, 50-some videos, 32-plus presenters, 140 pages worth of documentation, 2.5 days of intense presentation, probably close to 200 to 300 hours of work put in. Kudos to Steve for putting that all together. My celebration is just the gratitude that we had an amazing team put on an amazing presentation, and there needs to be a lot of celebration with that. The journey has only begun. The journey's not over. Jan, as you stated, you know what, we've heard our next journey to start talking about a board is revisiting our strategic plan, what that looks like, and tying all the great things that we are doing together. Hopefully, you and Lynette and Travis can speak a little bit to that in the board today, but that was a pretty phenomenal process as far as my point of view. So I want to leave it to that and answer any questions from you as a board of trustees. But kudos. Just being on this side, what you've seen on Tuesday with presentations was pretty extraordinary. And that we set the bar pretty high for Johnson County, the Johnson County School District number one. Mr. Oski is working really hard on changing transparency to something else, but it's all good. Inside joke.
And nobody will be know, so.
Any questions from you as a board?
Well, Travis, Lynette, did you want to say anything about Genesis?
Oh, it was. I thought it was really interesting to talk to all the people on the review team. There were some real experts on the panel that had been doing this for a while. There's some newbies too, but mostly these were experienced people from the state that do it all the time, experienced principals and supers that knew what to look for and to see how the culture was. And the presentation was great. They all thought that was fairly impressive, but they went out into the buildings to inspect and see, okay, you told us what you think you're doing. Now I'm going to go talk to the teachers and the kids and see, are you really doing what you said? And our teachers and kids knocked it out of the park. They all came back in going, whoa, you guys are literally as good as you told us you would be. So that was kind of awesome to see those skilled people that impressed from my perspective.
Having been my first time ever gone through peer review, it's pretty exciting. It was most impressive to me, the 30 presenters from across the district. I don't know exactly how the teams were chosen, how you picked them to present the 14 platforms that we did, but I can tell you that each person that came in with their best. They had a great story to tell. They spoke about all of the things that are happening in their world, whatever platform they presented on. It was very impressive. It was very impressive to hear people throughout the whole district between Buffalo and KC speak about all the great things going on in Johnson County. The peer review team, they were all very interesting. I did get a chance to talk to a few of them, and as Travis stated, they're all at their best, and they were very impressed, and I like the fact that they recognized that we are a work in progress, and we know that we're a work in progress, and they did recognize that. I think that through the grading scale that they gave us, it showed us that, you know, we're growing and we'll continue to grow. And they said that it's every 5 years, but they would like to come back in 2 years because they saw so many great things happening and they would like to see again in 2 years where we're moving. And so to me, that was really exciting. And I was so grateful to be a part of the day and that I was able to take time out of my schedule and be here all day. It was an exhausting day, but I had all the feels. It was a proud mom moment for me. So
when I first saw that we were going to have 14 presentations, I thought, oh my gosh, we're going to overwhelm everybody. But the way they did it, it wasn't overwhelming. And I told most of them later on that I want them to come give their presentations to the board, because I spend a lot of time going, I didn't know that. I didn't know. I learned something new almost every presentation. And then the thing, of course, being proud, how many were former Buffalo High School teachers, or former Buffalo High School students who were doing the presenting. That should all make you feel really, really proud. So, Mr. Oskey.
Yeah, entertain any questions from you as a Board of Trustees? All right, we are up to curriculum. And again, kudos to that gentleman that's about ready to present for putting this all together. So thank you, Dr. Mott.
About to get new data, looks like.
Yeah,
new data.
Always new data. In fact, today at the high school, we looked at some school accountability. It was a great process of just letting our teachers look at the data and come up with celebrations as well as areas of focus. And so just a real rich, I hope it was a rich time.
Absolutely.
Where we were able to look at the data, just to look at ways to enhance our student learning.
Can you give us an example? We can hear, what kind of student data did you look at?
We looked 30,000 foot view all the way down to individual student data.
Okay.
Where we looked at, you know, growth and equity are areas that we might be focusing on at the high school. But also we have celebrations with extended graduation. So we looked at that. We looked at where we're right on the cusp of meeting expectations, but also we're just a little bit away from partially. So we have to be on our guard or keep moving that needle forward. We looked at curricular blueprints, where's our curriculum areas compared to the blueprints that are strong and areas that we might need to take a look at. Maybe we're teaching that after the test is already given. Also, there's some areas in math where it's 2 years now that they're not performing as well, and we did get new curriculum resources 2 years ago, so maybe we need some supplementary resources to help beef up that. So it's those little areas there, but then we also looked at individual student growth percentiles, and where some, like for example, we have some students that are below basic still. And in, no offense, in the newspaper it's reported, oh, they're below basic, oh, what are they doing? But their student growth percentiles are high growth. They're in the 60s and 70s. Those are celebrations. Conversely, we have students that are advanced. And, oh, yeah, they're advanced, and they get reported in the newspaper as being successful. But their student growth percentile was 1 or 3rd percentile, very low. So what are we doing to help them? Are they coasting? Do they need a challenge? What do we need to do to help them grow? So there's that big view that we can look over at the school, then also it's all about personalized learning and how can we help each student grow. And I hope that was the message.
Absolutely.
That was portrayed at the high school.
That's great.
So when you meet and you met with Gibb, is that correct? Do your teachers get involved in these? Like, how do you guys fit this puzzle together? Because if you're looking at this big view and you want to see this growth, which is awesome, I mean, how do we get that to the kids?
Well, we met a couple days ago, and Gibb, what do you want? It's quite honestly, what kind of data you want? What do you envision? School leadership that takes care of that. I'm just the little, I called it today, I'm your grunt worker, whatever resources you need, and it's not me telling them this is your issue or this is a celebratory area. I want them to own the data in the school. And so that was it. I mean, all the teachers were there looking at every single piece of the data. Plus, we have our student data achievement, you know, website. Each school has that, so they have access to it with FERPA, of course, with making sure that only the correct eyes are going to see it. But it's up to them how they want to own that, and the high school doing it, and the other schools are too. I know all the schools are doing a great job looking at the data, but today was just happened to be the high school, and they own the data. They want to grow their students, which is really exciting. But it's leadership driven by the school.
And it very much is our whole staff. You know, like today, identifying areas where we need to put some attention to, that was the easy part. What action steps you're going to take in a building to move the needle in those areas, that's where the conversation and discussion happens. So it's a great, great process. We've done it now the last couple of years, and it's been really good for our staff.
So Dr. Miller, as we measure growth, in a nutshell, could I say that the kids are tested, say in math, they're tested early on in the year, and then they're tested later in the year. And is that how you measure growth?
No, it's from summative to summative.
What does that mean?
So basically the spring test, the big test that we focus on, these interims that they've just taken, those are more or less pre-tests.
So you took that March or April?
Right. And
of
so that's
past year.
And then they compare it to the previous March or April, the same summit of this the previous year. And what they do to get that growth percentile, all the students are lumped in different buckets throughout the state. So if you have a medium performing student, right here, there's that bucket, and you just dump them in all across the state. They're all similar, I guess you'd call them the cohort. So then you measure their achievement that next year, and that's where you get your student growth percentile based on all those similar students.
And is that a county-wide or
statewide? Statewide.
Okay.
So that, and again, even with the size that we are at, is that a big enough number? And they've always wrestled with that, to make sure our cohort or that bucket size is enough to have an accurate percentile and student growth percentile.
Because you'll sometimes see our numbers drop two or three, and depending on the size of it, you know, it to drop a couple numbers can be huge or it can be small, depending on the number of students in that, as you're calling it, bucket.
Exactly, and even like with Cloud Peak last year, they were probably one student away from going from partially to meeting. It's excruciating, and it's the game that's played. It is what it is, but it is one or two students sometimes that makes the difference. And probably one or two students that allowed the high school to be meeting expectations this year. It's just part of the way the cycle is. You're absolutely right.
Thanks for answering.
Yeah, no problem. Yes.
But I want to, that's not the only data picture that we look at in each one of the buildings. You have fast bridges, you have individual student assessments with. There's a triangulation of data that they look at how they grow and do some things. So we also need to remember we're not just doing it on a one annual assessment. And what they're doing in K-1-2 and their weekly meetings and PLCs, they're always looking at that data piece. So there's a lot of data that's in conjunction with what the state's reporting in the report card. So it's just not one source of data. I sometimes think we always just think it's one source of data, and it's really not.
That's just what's reported on.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Ms. Drosky?
All right. Val, you are up.
Val, you always have words of wisdom for us.
Great deal of professional development, and many members of my team were here to present, and so I'm super proud of them. They even asked about additional programs that they saw in the buildings, and so we're all very excited to see that because some of our programs are outside of the box a little bit, and they want to know more, and they want to know how we got to where we're at and what we're doing for those students, and so That's a huge compliment to us. I want to invite all of you to LRP, so that time of year where we get everything organized and start signing up for that conference. And so please let me know soon if you are interested in attending. It's a huge opportunity for information. And so I encourage you to go again, or if you've never been, to come. It's the best way to kind of describe when and how we do things and why we do some of the things that we do. And so I encourage you to attend.
And if you're not sure exactly what it is, perhaps you want to just give us a little, you learn from going.
Yeah, I was, because I knew absolutely nothing about special ed, they had to explain to me the whole trip down. What is this abbreviation? What in the heck is an LRP? What's it? All the different acronyms they're using were new to me. So we had to really start at, okay, here's a kindergarten 101, Trav, this is what we're talking about. And then from there, we got into the classes, and they started, there's some fantastic lecturers and some really gifted lawyers that were explaining, if your district isn't doing this, you had better be, because if you can't document why you're doing such and such a thing, you're going to get smacked around. So there was tons of information, a lot of drinking from the fire hose. Some of the presentations I got in and really followed and understood, and the very next one I come out of there going, Val, come back here and tell me what this man just told me. So she had to really babysit a lot, but it was a really comprehensive, totally from funding to, you know, best practices, all about special education. I don't know that anything wasn't covered. I couldn't take every test, obviously, but it was impressive. I learned more than I would have dreamed possible in that short time. So, yeah, really a trip that you haven't taken. It's worth it.
Thank you. There's a lot of drinking from the fireboats. I was chuckling up there.
Yeah.
Let's back down. Back down, everyone. Okay.
Yeah, it was a great experience. I too didn't have a lot of knowledge in what special education involved, and the exciting thing to me was, as Travis stated, there were so many classes. I mean, you could have really taken everything, but it was kind of fun to see what's going on in other states. And a really exciting thing is that Wyoming is reimbursed. Not all states are reimbursed. And so that was really interesting. And so I think sometimes when we think about, you know, financial things, it can be really expensive. And so if these districts aren't getting reimbursed, a lot of times there's not funding for those kids. And so while it was exciting to see what was happening, it also made me kind of sad that it was, you know, that Wyoming isn't a great place. And one thing that I really liked is Val told us about her best practice book. And she started her best practice book before you started in special education. And she said it's just massive. And it's used, and they use it often, and they refer to it all the time. And I think that that's important, that, you know, a best practice for everything so that we know that we're doing things right. I was super, super grateful to be a part of the process and be able to take that trip. It was exhausting. Every day we left, and we were absolutely exhausted. It was a lot of law talk, a lot of things that we just didn't quite understand until later. And so I would encourage any of you guys, if you can make it work in your schedule. I feel like it's May 5th through 8th, so we've got plenty of time in advance. If you can make it work in your schedule, I highly recommend it. It was something that I was super grateful I could go.
So, Lynette, if I can ask you, mm-hmm. since you went, mm-hmm. it's federal funding. Why would some states not be reimbursed?
They don't have the state funding.
I didn't hear you.
They don't have the state funding. So the state of Wyoming supplements a lot of that special education funds. And so I think the biggest impact I've seen in my career are those out-of-date district placements and some of those, the specialty programs that we're able to offer our students. I had a conversation with another state, and she said, I would love to send my students to that program. They do great things, but that's the budget that I would use to fund an entire school. And so they have to make some of those funding choices. Well, we're lucky enough that our state...
About the choices that some of those districts make with their fund, or some of the states make, sorry, with their fund. And I can't remember. I talked to a gal, and I'm sorry, I don't remember where she was from. But they send a lot of their kids out of state. Now, as a parent, can you imagine, you know, your child needing some kind of special something, and you don't even get to send them to a different town within your state to get them the help that they need. You have to send them to another state. What a difficult decision. And, yeah.
We're very, very fortunate.
Very fortunate.
Now, last question real quick. The grant that you were awarded, the 611 grant, is that similar in dollar value?
Yes.
To what you got last year?
Yeah, it is. It usually is. Our numbers haven't fluctuated a whole lot. We're usually within, I would say, 5 to 10. And so our funding was very consistent.
So is that a federal grant or state?
Federal.
Federal, thank you.
Federal. It's monitored by the state, and so they're the ones that give the approval to me, and that's why I write it through, but it is federal funding.
Thanks.
I've got just one
more.
Sure. What are we competing in the Special Olympics? I see it looks like bowling is one, but I couldn't tell the other.
Yes, it was bowling. In the morning it was bowling that's assisted, and then in the afternoon it was might have been the other way, unassisted and then assisted. But we do have two students that are headed to state.
Making it to state.
Yep.
Awesome.
Thank you, Val. Appreciate that.
All right, business report. Connie, you are up.
Gib is going to count and make sure I'm on my toes and make it quick. A couple of things on the warrant list. We changed the warrant list, and we broke out payroll by general fund, food service, and special ed. Just so that's a change on that warrants list. I created a new report. Maybe so that you guys can kind of see a more current version of what we're doing. In my report, it's at the end of the month, so the numbers you're looking at is the end of September. I want you guys to kind of see what I see on a daily basis or a monthly basis. So I'm going to send you a link in a couple of days after I kind of get some more information from the state and from the county. And what payroll is on the 15th. So you'll kind of see what October is. So what you're looking at is the WDE 160. So the 160 is a report of the county revenue. So we get this report once a month. So that's what the top of this report is, the blue and the gray. So if you look down where it says July of 23 on that second column, the first column of numbers, that number, that total for all, is how much money the county revenue was for June that we got in July.
$883,000.
The next row is what part of that $883,000 was rent board. So they cut us two checks. They cut us the check for the school, and then they cut us the check for rent board. So the rent board that month was $26,000, right? Or 26,000. And then so our portion of the 883 was $856,000. So anything in pink, and if you guys want to go to the second page, it's a little bit bigger, so it's kind of easier to follow. So anything in pink is going to be FY24, okay? And so so we received $856,000 in July for June taxes. So it's always a 1 year, 1 month in arrears. Okay. So if you look at that number, the 825% at 8.25% is how much we got more than we got last year this time. So if you go down to the green percentage, the 132% is the difference in what we got from FY22 to FY23. So it went from 132% to 8.25% difference. So, and then we do the same thing in August, September, and October, so you can kind of see the difference. So this month, we received $1.1 million in county revenue, and last year we got $1.7 million. So we've lost about 38% difference between what we got this year and what we got last year. So that is kind of the challenge that we're facing, is that it's not the same. It's not even close to the same. And how is it projected? Because if you look at the green percentages across the board, you go from 325 to 429, and I think there was one that was 2% in June. We got 2% difference between FY22 and FY23. So this is just a way for you guys to kind of see where we are each month and how it compared to the following year and the year before that. So that's kind of the county revenue across the top there. And then in the next portion of the pink is really the money we get from the state. So we get foundation money from the state 10 months of the 12 months of the fiscal year. So it starts in August. We get 1.5 times, then we get one time, all the way to May, and then we get half a payment in May, just the way they break that up. Okay, and then we get retirement, and retirement's usually paid in August, so we try to get that. That's due by August 12th, so we try to get in that, and that's for the whole year of salaries. We get 2.2% paid as outside the model. So we report that once a year. So that's the $291,000. And again, this year, remember, SPED's been taken out. And so now we have a SPED payment. So the first payment was $457,000. And that's usually based on last year's money. So I think it was a little over $3 million that we got last year. This year I submitted $3.9 million. So that's why it went up a little bit to the $459,000. We're in the middle of validating all these reports I submitted in August. So they look at our 601, which is all the expenses and revenue. They look at the 100, which is the ADM, our transportation reimbursement. That report gives us the guarantee amount that we get. And then they look at the 401, which is the SPED report, so they make sure all of those match. And so we'll go through that validation process 200 or 300 times. We fix things that might not match. I may have something on this report that I don't have on this report. We just make sure it matches. And so these numbers fluctuate a little bit, not a whole lot, but they may fluctuate. And then maybe in December we'll start hitting that same amount of money each month from SPED reimbursement and the foundation payment. This month, on the 15th, we get a SPED payment, and we'll get a tax shortfall payment. Remember, so predict how much money we're going to get from the county. If we predict too much, then they pay us back in October. If we don't do enough, then we have to pay that back. And then we talk about the recapture versus entitlement piece. But right now, this year, we're in entitlement. Not by a lot, by about $115,000. And as you can see, on the percentage line, we went from 8.2% more to now this month, we're 34% less than what we got. So I'm going to resubmit the 100, and so that we'll get more foundation money, because I'm going to predict that we'll get about $12 million instead of $16 million. We'll monitor that each time, but you guys can monitor it with me. So this link, you can press on this link every time that you want to kind of look it up. And so the 15th is payroll. I'll put the payroll in there, and then you'll be able to see what that looks like. Once we get the state payment, I'll put that in there, and you'll be able to see that, and it's kind of a running total as we go through the process. Just so this is just one more 30,000 feet that you can kind of look at.
So, Connie, questions?
Okay.
General fund payroll, 300% up. How come?
300% up from, so July and August, you only are paying administrators and 260-day classified employees. Your September payment is always that first check with all your teachers.
Okay, so the way you have a plan next year is that will be more of an even keel, is what I mean.
Kind of, sort of, yes.
Because you're going to start paying staff.
Yeah.
Monthly. Okay, so then that's going to answer the next question about expenditures. We're up there again, 300% on expenditures, and that's because of the salary.
No, the expenses have no salaries in it. It's separate, so I've separated the salaries from expenses. So, but always your August, September payments keep people coming back to school. They're starting to spend money. We're starting to order books. If we don't have enough books, we're starting to put blanket POs for.
But you're up 1.2 million.
On my expenses.
Correct.
Correct.
So, there's that 1.2 million, there's that much that happens.
1.2 million, show me where the 1.2 million is.
Sure. So, in August, you have 653,000, and now we have 1.8 million. So,
yes,
that's 1.2 million, roughly.
Those are your increases in your annual payroll, sorry.
Okay, that's just what, yeah.
And yes, payroll.
Okay.
It's not that much in the expenses. So, the expenses.
Okay, so we're going to go back to what you said then.
Correct. Because I was separating. I didn't realize you were talking here. So when you look at general fund expenses, those are operation expenses across the top. Your payroll is always going to be the second.
Yeah. Well, right. And you have it. Yes. You're
so payroll
correct,
is always going to be higher. Well, not going forward, but this year it's higher because September is our first big
gotcha.
Payroll.
Okay.
Yeah.
I answered that.
Yeah. So that last over under needed general fund revenue by month, so it's not a running total. It's just this is how much revenue we got, this is the expenses. So in September, we spent $789,000 more than what we received in revenue, but we received a little bit in August. We had a little bit of revenue. I'm sorry, reserves, and so we're kind of spending it as we go. But just wanted to kind of see the difference between each revenue month and what we get expended each month. So we're borrowing from each month to go, just so you can kind of see exactly how it's flying through there.
So Connie, the ad valorem tax, Do you get that on a monthly basis from Carla, or?
Yes, I get that plus the property tax, which is this.
Because I didn't know if ad valorem was paid monthly. So.
It just depends on how it comes in. So there's the minerals are supposed to be paid on a monthly basis, but you've got Representative Craigo told us in our meeting that one of the big companies that it's about 10% of the mineral income tax, or not income tax, taxes that comes in, is starting to get a little iffy about not paying. So you could make a huge difference as we move through that. But also remember that Senate File 60 changed the way the funding of the how oil companies and minerals are paid each month. So we had this huge influx of money coming in last year, and it doesn't look like it's coming in this year. So did they pay it all? Because they had 15 years to kind of catch up. A lot of them chose to pay everything. So we just have to watch
how this works. So the law did change on the ad valorem tax. It's supposed to be paid monthly, but our two biggest operators are doing very well.
Correct. But Craigo said some of them are trying to kind of balk at paying. So we'll see how that all flies out. So anyway, so this is just kind of, you'll have a link to it. You can click on it anytime and get the information that you want. Just to, so you can kind of see it 30,000 feet and kind of have it current. Instead of what my monthly reports are is really the end of the month of the preceding month. So all the checks that you're approving tonight are actually October expenditures, so you won't see that on my board reports until the November meeting. So this is just another way to kind of communicate the information. And I could hear Gibb counting back there. Did y'all hear him? Any questions about this report or anything else?
I do have one question.
Sure.
Connie, on the meeting with Senator Kinsey and Representative Craigo. Mm-hmm. So, Senator Kinsey asked us to put together a document he could use to help him understand better and help him get support. This is the document, or yep. What document does he want to support?
So, one of the other business managers from Laramie One used to be the finance director at WDE, and so he moved to Laramie One. He moved to the good guys, right? And so he has a lot of knowledge about how the statutes are written, what the legislators need to know, what's going to be the advantage of changing it, maybe what some of the disadvantages of changing it, just trying to look at the consequences. And he had a document already prepared, kind of talking about exactly what we want to talk to him about. So currently we have to certify the 100 March 31st. We still have 3 months of taxes to go. We're trying to predict what that is. And so we're asking maybe certify it in June. We also talk about if you're an entitlement district, you kind of have to pay back anything over your guaranteed amount at a different time frame than if you are a recaptured district. So we ask them to look at that. Currently, we're at 30% of carryover. We're asking this to make that permanent. That sunsets in June of 26. So we want to talk to them about making that a permanent resource and keep the that statute in place. Some other things that we talked about. Talked about the cash advancement.
I'm just being proactive. We're going to be on the bubble. So part of what I discussed is we had two virtual meetings with two different sets of business managers, and Jed came out of that piece. But we've got to change legislation on how we're funded. Again, we have to pay in June, but they don't have to pay us back till October. When can we certify the 100? I think the system needs to be cleaned up. I think there's some systems in place because people got mad because there are some districts that have $150 million they're gaining interest on, But we're not that district. We're always on the bubble. We're going to have a revenue flow issue. So we're talking about cleaning up the system. And Kinski asked, what does this look like? Well, this business manager we're talking about had already created a document. And so we met with him, what day was
Friday.
It? Friday. Anyway, the week goes fast. So anyway, we're trying to clear up some of that information. Kinski asked for it. So if there's a potential that we could change some the way things run over the next couple of years to benefit districts our size, I think that's huge, because you can already see our cash flow is going to be difficult when that revenue is so inconsistent. And I've directed Connie to resubmit the 100. We learned a lot of things through that, so we can either be a victim or we can be proactive. And the result is I want to be proactive. And there's ways to, honestly, even Kinski told us, play the game with the 100. So we're going to play the game with the 100. But I don't feel good with that. If there's things we can change, let's start changing legislative laws on how we fund things so that we're kind of being proactive instead of reactive. I don't like the way we were held over the barrel this summer, to be honest with you, and that's public. I can make that public knowledge. I don't like the way we were held accountable for some different things when that accountability isn't consistent on both sides. So we just need to look at it. So we are being very proactive now that peer review is over and we've all taken a breath and we can kind of clear our minds. That will be one of the next projects that we need to get on the forefront, because this paper here clearly shows you that we cannot predict our local monthly revenues, which is impactful to us. So understanding that process and giving grace to Connie that even Kinski and everybody else, an economist probably wouldn't be able to exactly determine what you're going to get. So those are going to change. So we need to be able to do something that's going to impact our district, but hopefully impact other districts our size throughout the state. Is that fair?
Representative Crago really began, he used a word that Senator Kinski just jumped on. Senate Bill 60 kind of changed the landscape of how revenues come in, how it's affecting us, and then again the SPED being pulled out of the model had a huge effect as well. And Crago said, we just need to learn to adapt. We need to make sure that our laws are adapting to that change in the Senate file 60. And Kinski just loved the word adapted. He said, I can get on board with that. So they were both willing and very, very eager to help us walk through some of those things. And we've got a bunch of business managers that want to kind of jump on board and kind of look at that and really kind of work with us and present that as a united team.
Yeah, and so I want to be very clear. I'm not making any promises that we can get things changed, but we're at least trying to put something together. Because the window we're talking about, the stress level goes up. The window to get all this moving doesn't happen on the first day of legislation. It starts right now. So we've got a short window. This isn't a united front. It's kind of Johnson County School District in collaboration with a couple others trying to get some things with some legislators. So hopefully we can focus on that a little bit and change the way things are. So our monthly stress is not how much we're getting in and based on our expenditures, because we still have to meet the needs of our kids. So, again, Crago and Kinski both agreed at next month's board meeting, and I forgot to put it on here. Prior to this board meeting at 5:15, they will come in and try to answer any questions. Potentially administrators, they might come a couple hours early and we tour buildings that day. I'm not sure, but I haven't locked that into place on what that looks like yet. Okay. So Jake, it might be, I don't know if we get there first for lunch and then come back this way, but I'll let you know.
Okay.
So what are we calling that on the 15th? Is that just going to be a dinner we're having, or?
Just be an additional work session with legislators.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Connie, do you want to answer some questions on warrants now, or do you want to wait till the consent agenda?
It's up to you.
Okay. Well, so there's a couple of them that jumped out at me, so
okay.
I need to ask them.
Okay.
So I noticed on page 18 we have a contract for a language pathologist. What is that? What does that mean, and what does it entail?
It's a speech pathologist. It's a special education.
Let's let Val answer that question.
Yep.
So we have that is a contract with a speech pathologist.
It is or isn't?
It is. Yep. We had someone resigned last year, and so in order to make sure that we provided the services this school year, we have that was our only option at that point. The position had been open for a few months. We didn't have a single applicant. So then I went to search outside. Gosh, when I first contacted them, we had 15 to choose from, and within a week and a half, we were down to four that weren't even available, even online. And so we had to make a decision very quickly.
So was that an online?
Mm-hmm. Yep. She meets with.
How do I ask this? Is that helpful for the kids? I mean, that
it
have
is.
Those problems to do online? Because most kids don't learn online the same as they do face-to-face with someone.
In the perfect world, we prefer someone in person always. But, that's the ultimate goal. Sometimes that's not an option. And so it has been, the court system has deemed that it is an acceptable form of providing services. And so it is becoming very, very common in the state of Wyoming, just because we have such limited resources.
So Val, is that amount, is that going to be monthly? About $33,000. Is that going to be per month then, or what?
Probably through the school year.
What's that?
We've kept it open. Yes, through the school year. That's approximately how much it costs. They're usually when they're online. Even any of our contracted, if you look through the few people that we contract, the average rate is a couple hundred dollars an hour.
Because that's like over twice what we were paying the Gallagher Young.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to provide the service, and we didn't have anyone apply.
And we have a para there that helps with the students.
Yes.
So they're trying to do the same thing. So
next question, Connie, on page 27.
Okay.
And we just had the lady here, Compass Parent Liaison, $57,000. Is
That's I think it's part of that is the one-time, not a one-time, a yearly rate. So that's the whole year for the 57.
Their salary?
I don't know exactly
so
what they use, but I'm sure they're using
the program and all the training and everything goes along with it. So we just paid it one lump sum instead of paying monthly to them. So that's their employee, that's their program, that's the cost.
Okay.
And that was an ESSER.
But that is down from last year, because last year it was higher than that because we had an implementation phase that it cost more last year. So this is that annual cost.
So when they talk about the grants and that kind of stuff, so we put out well over $100,000. So the grant, it is the grants that they're asking for. Will we see that kind of a payment next year from the general fund? Depends whether they get the grants, like the Scott Foundation.
They have three other grants. So the goal is to have one-third of the cost of the parent liaison to come from the district and the general budget, or seek additional grants for us as a district and two-thirds of it to come from some other type of community or other grant funding. So, yes.
Thanks for answering those.
What percentage are we at now with the 57?
100.
We're 100 now.
But, I mean, I just want to come back. That's what I came to you as a board with, that we'd fund this with ESSER grants over the first 2 to 3 years, and then start seeking community funding, because it is a collaborative effort. It is between was shared in others, so trying to get those other organizations to do that. And, I mean, if we have to seek additional funding, but the evidence is there. I mean, we talk about the social-emotional piece and that money spent with those at-risk families, I think is going to benefit us as a district down the road.
And remember, we have to spend about $600,000 to $700,000 on learning loss, and that does qualify for learning loss. That can tie to the learning loss in Tier 4.
So I can be clear, the comment you made, Charles, does that ESSER fund money get put into the general fund and then it comes out of the general fund? Is that okay? Because that came out of the general fund, so that's why I'm asking.
No, it did not come out of general fund.
Okay. I'll talk about it here a second. We'll move on.
Okay.
Any other questions? Well, we'll move
to special revenue, isn't it?
What's the special revenue?
Yeah.
Page 27.
Yeah, on 27, it's called special revenue.
That would qualify then.
Yeah. I will believe you because I don't know any better.
Ask your wife.
Any other questions for Connie?
thanks for the report, Connor.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Hopefully, and if we can adapt it, we can do whatever we need to do, but hopefully this will give you that 30,000 foot.
Thank you, Connor. Rec board.
Well, we meet tomorrow. If you look at the warrants as well, we've started giving out grants already. So 150,000 went out at sea, I see there. But that's about it. We'll see what tomorrow brings. Probably not a lot. It's kind of fun.
So when I looked at what went out, back to Randy Brown's comments earlier, out of the 150,000, most of it went to the school district.
There was a lot that did, but there's other ones.
Yeah, there was a few, but yeah. Overwhelming majority.
There was, yeah. Which, Randy, I did bring this. These are all the grants.
Because she knew you were going to be here.
Just for you. I've been carrying it around for a while. Just for you. So you can see. Although, I did have one question because I cannot remember this. The Bison Clay Target Sports, is that school? Or are they tied to the school? Mr. Oski, do you know?
It's a club.
So it's not.
But it is tied to the school because we approved it.
Correct. Yes, you did. Yeah. That's correct. Okay. It's a club at school. It's like the Create Club.
Okay.
Does it have a teacher sponsor?
Does not have a faculty sponsor. It has a volunteer.
He actually does a volunteer. Yep. So then I saw there was some kind of a shooting, maybe where it throws clay pigeons that the school purchased. Not that you're aware of.
Okay. I don't think so. If you said
it wasn't
shooting,
under you through you guys.
Okay, because there is a shooting thing, but that's a basketball shooting thing that went.
Oh
yes,
yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
A
yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a shooting machine.
So that's for KC.
So
well.
It's not something you should put a shot at.
No. But that's in KC, and Buffalo
but
has
they
one
have
as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it was in KC.
Yeah. Not place.
Any other questions for the rec board? For BOCES, I was not able to attend the meeting due to our special meeting with the board. I will attend one next Thursday. Dave?
BOCES is not met. I have nothing to report. But I kind of wish that, Charles, have you heard anything? Because with the split going on,
Connie and I had a conversation about this last week that we need to contact them and we need to figure out what's happening. So,
yeah, I think that'd be a real good idea.
So,
I think we've already covered leadership governance. I think we did a really nice job last week. I think we're going to just keep that into our work sessions if that's all right with everybody. I thought the dialogue that we had with that was very good. I hope we cleared up how people can access now on their computer so we can look at the surveys for the leadership governance. But I thought we had a really good conversation.
Thanks to Lynette, your IT skills.
Here we go.
You got to make a letter.
And if not, and again, those go out. Why do you forget one day? We want them back on the Monday. That Monday? Is that what it is? Mm-hmm. The Monday before the work session on Wednesday, so Heidi can compile all the information. So, Lynette, did you want to add anything for the leadership governance?
No, I was just going to say the conversation that we had around it on our work session was amazing. I was very happy.
And I think it works better than having it put up on the board and having dead silence. So, I was pleased with that conversation.
I will say kudos to you as a board for having that, when I say productive conversation.
And again, that was, we did report it. And I always want to say this, our work sessions are open, they are public meetings, and everyone is welcome to come. That moves us into a consent agenda. We have a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented. So, second, please.
Second.
Discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the consent agenda as presented? Signified by saying aye. Aye. Opposed, same sign. The agenda has been approved. I've been a member of this board for several years, and I have not had action items. So, We will next time, our board policy meeting. We're meeting on Wednesday, correct? So I know we will have some policies to bring to you at the next board meeting. So we move on to other business. Do you have any updates, Mr. Oski, for the peer review? Are there any
other? I mean, just questions. I think I answered that with the superintendent, but we wanted to make sure here it was for the public that our peer review went very well. But I do want to emphasize it was just preliminary, and we should have the final hopefully sometime soon. Work session probably will be based around looking at that process of moving forward with strategic planning, APQC, what we're doing with our ops team, and in addition to that, I've reached out to the School Boards Association to also start looking at they offer a service now to look at all board policies. We had that discussion at our work session last week to really identify what policies we're missing and maybe prioritize those. Same thing with facilities. So that'll be some things that we'll bring to the table. So I think we had that conversation. We don't know what we don't know. Well, in some cases, if we can get ahead of the game and know what we should know, that might be beneficial to that process. Okay. Fair?
Very fair. Anything else for that, for Ms. Roski? I'd also like to say, first of all, I would like to apologize to the board for not thanking the board for being nominated for the Champion of Education. And I want to say that there's not one person on this board that should not receive that award, because otherwise you wouldn't be on this board. Because of all the hours, and people don't see the hours and the time that we not only spend in this boardroom, but you spend at home and in this community. So I'll only accept the nomination if it includes all, not just includes, but I can represent this board, because, again, you are the champions of education. And I appreciate your time and your effort and your knowledge and what you have taught me how to be a board member. So thank you again, and again, this nomination will represent all nine of you. So thank you. The next thing is the school liaison. We've had that in the past. It is, Ms. Roski, I'll let you kind of, this was your brainchild, so.
Thanks. I think it's time to revisit that. I can. Again, we're taking breaths about what that looks like. But I'll reopen that document. It would probably be best to kind of look at potentially reassigning if there is some reassignments, but I will reshare that link with you. So you know what buildings you were assigned to or where you are at, and just take a look at those. So I would be open to suggestions if you'd like a different assignment, but I think it is really important to have a board member representing each one of our schools, okay?
And I know, you know, so many of you have your lives, jobs, families, and you're not able to get involved in much of that, but that's okay. That's okay. And I enjoy it. I have the time to do it. I enjoy being middle school. I've got to serve lunch. I've got, you know, because I have the time, and I enjoy it. So, but if you're not able to, don't worry about it. Yep. It's okay.
It's not a stressor.
No,
it's a communication.
Absolutely
piece.
Not. So, but I think it's something that if you're able to, great. If you're not, that's great too. Lynette, did you have something you wanted to add?
I did. I wanted to add, I believe it's October 27th. Is that right? October's Friday, October 27th. I just wanted to remind everyone that Jan is being recognized through the Compass as a champion for kids. And it's a breakfast, 7 a.m. at Colonel Bozeman's. I believe the board and anybody else with us has a table.
We have a table.
We have a table, so.
In the front.
Craig, we have a table.
Edmund has a table.
I just wanted to be sure to remind you guys it's at 7 a.m. It's a Friday. Gotcha. Great way to start your weekend. Remind you to come out and join. Eat breakfast. Yeah.
I have a hard time with this, so let's move on. Thank you. I'd like just one other little board information. Our weekly meetings, what day is that? Wednesday? No. The WSBA.
Yeah.
Thursday. Yes, Thursday at noon. Thank you. We meet for 1 hour and they are Zoom meetings from the WSBA. If you have the time, and I think they're recorded too, so you can watch them later on. They're really good to watch because it's not just somebody up there talking to you. You get to hear from other board members. We have breakout sessions that only last like 8 minutes, and you can hear from other people of having the same problems that we're having and maybe solutions and ideas, and last 1 hour. They start right at 12 and they end at 1, and I know, again, that's some of you work during that time, but I believe they are recorded. Let me double-check on that. And it's an hour worth spending if you're able to do it.
Madam Chair, I did have one more thing. I wanted to send out a thank you. I wanted to pass it on to Dr. Hansen to send out a thank you to the kids that provided all the great snacks and the hors d'oeuvres for during the peer review.
Awesome.
They were amazing. We really got to showcase what our kids are doing. And Charles, I wanted to pass on to you, please, to your staff in the office, for making the day run so smooth. They provided, they offered anything that anybody needed. They had lunch every day, the days of the peer review, and so just thank them for us, because it was all of those things behind the scenes made the peer review day just run so smooth. So pass those thank yous on.
I will. And absolutely. And, you know, another kudos we talked about, we're probably the first peer review that we actually introduced our operations team at the very beginning. So I think in that piece, and nobody lost any weight over those 2 days with the amount of calories that were presented. So it was super good.
Anything else from the board?
I would like to encourage, and I know we don't want to talk about this, but November is a huge month, and the School Boards Association is coming up, and we need to let Heidi know who wants to attend so we can be there to represent Jan, and we'll figure out what that is coming up.
That Friday is awesome. Because they go through, is it Friday or? Yeah, Friday morning? And they do all the law on Friday and all the cases that have been brought up. And those 4 hours are really interesting for one thing, and you learn so much. It starts at 8, ends at noon.
It is. And, so it's a busy week. So we're going to come off a work session, a board meeting, and then we got the Boys and Girls Club breakfast early that morning,
and then I
jump in a car and we go to Casper, and we stay in Casper Wednesday through Friday, and through that process. And Jan, I know you don't want to talk about it, but when we recognize Jan, if we were just able to make it for that section of that recognition, but I will put that schedule out to you, okay?
Thank you. The November work session will be the 8th. Beginning at 5:15, our regular board meeting will be on the 13th, beginning at 6 o'clock, and there may be some issues come up throughout the month. We will let you know. Do we have anything else for the good of the cause? We have no executive session. So, anything else? We are now adjourned. Thank you all again for coming. Thank you.
That's pretty cool.